for Monday, October 4th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky in for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Cindy Rodriguez tells us about a massive foreclosure auction taking place today for Stuytown, Peter Cooper Village. The biggest residential deal in history became the biggest bust of the real estate bubble. And if you're not registered to vote and would like to be, Anna Sale has the 411 on that. We'll start with the morning's headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
Concern that terrorists may be plotting to attack European capitals has prompted the U.S. State Department to advise Americans in Europe to be vigilant. American and European security experts say terrorists based in Pakistan may be plotting attacks similar to the deadly 2008 shooting spree in Mumbai, India. Long Island Congressman Peter King, the ranking Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee, says Americans should be vigilant at all times.
We have an enemy that wants to kill us, wants to destroy us, and we have to constantly be looking out for them, and they will strike when we let our guard down. So it's not always politically fashionable to say it, but the fact is we are under threat every day.
Senator Charles Schumer says the alert is not about an imminent or specific threat, but was issued to keep Americans vigilant while traveling in Europe. Rutgers University held a silent vigil Sunday to remember a student who committed suicide after his sexual encounter with a man in his dormitory room was secretly streamed online. The vigil was the latest in a series of remembrances for 18-year-old Tyler Clementi, who jumped to his death from the George Washington Bridge. Wells Fargo says it's not planning to halt its foreclosures, even though a Wells Fargo executive has acknowledged in court papers that he only checked the dates on some 150 foreclosure documents. GMAC Mortgage, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase have halted tens of thousands of foreclosures after similar practices became public. Former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel has thrown his hat into the cyberspace ring. Emanuel announced online that he's preparing to run for mayor of Chicago, a position he has said he's long desired. In the video, Emanuel says he's embarking on a tell-it-like-it-is listening tour of Chicago. Official vote returns indicate Brazil's leading presidential candidate, Dilma Rousseff, has been forced into a second-round runoff. Rousseff is the hand-chosen successor to popular president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Rousseff will face her centrist opponent, José Serra, in the October 31st runoff. Four NYPD officers shot and killed a man wielding a knife in Upper Manhattan Sunday morning. Police spokesman Paul Brown says the uniformed officers responding to a 911 call arrived at Vermelha Avenue in Inwood about 5:15 a.m. and saw 24-year-old Emmanuel Paulino with the knife and ordered him numerous times to drop it. When he did not, a patrol supervisor struck Paulino with a taser. Police spokesman Brown said after Paulino tore the taser's electrical prongs out of his body, the officers opened fire, striking Paulino several times in the torso. The shooting angered some in the neighborhood who described Paulino as having emotional problems. Polling places that did not open on time, malfunctioning scanners, and inadequate poll worker training are just a few of the issues that the city council will be looking at this morning at a hearing on voting problems in last month's primary. The chair of the council's Government Operations Committee, Gail Brewer, says the new electronic voting machines caused many unforeseen headaches.
The font of the ballot, how do people actually see what they are voting on? Something simple as folders to provide privacy when one walks from filling out the paper.
The head of the Board of Elections and good government groups are expected to testify. The council has also partnered with local disability advocates on a series of recommendations to improve accessibility for the city's disabled voters. That hearing begins at 10 a.m. this morning at 250 Broadway in Lower Manhattan. And taking a look at some of the other things happening this Monday, President Obama attends a meeting of his Economic Recovery Advisory Board at the White House. Meanwhile, a key manufacturer's report for August comes out this morning at 10, the same time that the National Association of Realtors releases its index on pending home sales. The U.S. Supreme Court begins its fall term today with its newest justice, Elena Kagan, taking her seat. The Manhattan native becomes the third woman currently serving on the high court. That's the most ever. Justice Kagan joins Brooklyn native Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Bronx native Sonia Sotomayor. The National Summit on Healthcare Quality and Value takes place on Capitol Hill. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius will give the keynote address. And here in New York, Mayor Bloomberg hosts Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat at City Hall. Just some of what's happening this Monday. In 2006, the sale of Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village for $5.4 billion was touted as the most expensive real estate deal in history. 4 years later, the massive rental complex is in foreclosure and scheduled to be auctioned today. WNYC Cindy Rodriguez has more.
Tishman's buyer and BlackRock Realty walked away from the property in January after defaulting on their massive loans. After months of legal challenges by other investors, CW Capital, the mortgage holder, has won the right to auction off the property. The creditor will be looking to recoup more than $3.6 billion in outstanding debt. Estimates are the property's worth less than half that. Some real estate experts predict there will likely be no bidders. Larry Longeway is a real estate professor at NYU's Schack Institute.
My prediction, with a little bit of reservation, is that nobody will bid. CW will take title, and then the feeding frenzy begins.
Longeway says CW Capital will have more flexibility to negotiate with interested investors once they're the rightful owners. Plus, he says, taking over a building at auction requires a 10% deposit, with the balance due shortly thereafter, and few investors will have that type of money or will be willing to take the risk. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.
In 2008, Democrats were ecstatic when they elected their first congressman from Staten Island in 28 years. But as WNYC's Bob Henley reports, Republicans think they can win that seat back next month.
Democratic City Councilman Mike McMahon didn't make it to Capitol Hill on Barack Obama's coattails in 2008. The 13th Congressional District, which includes all of Staten Island and parts of Brooklyn, went for John McCain. McMahon benefited from a weak GOP rival and the implosion of six-term Republican Congressman Vito Fisella, whose political career ended with a drunk driving incident that led to the disclosure of a long-term extramarital affair and a secret second family. So the local GOP is hopeful that 2008 was the exception, and this year will return to the Republican norm. McMahon faces Michael Grimm, a former U.S. Marshal and FBI agent. McMahon voted against Obama's health care reforms, yet Grimm's ads still sandwich pictures of McMahon between unflattering pictures of the president and Speaker Pelosi. McMahon is reminding voters about his advocacy on transportation issues critical for folks on an island. McMahon has more than $1 million on hand, while Grimm, who had a primary, has just $385,000, according to the FEC. But fellow Democrats must be worried. McMahon benefactors include Rahm Emanuel, Speaker Pelosi, and several other House members. For WNYC, I'm Bob Henley.
And while the candidates have 4 weeks to earn your vote, you have less time than that if you want to vote and aren't already registered. WNYC's Anna Sale reports on the looming different deadlines in the tri-state area.
Friday is the deadline to register in New York. Some of the rules are pretty standard. You must be a U.S. citizen, be 18 years old by November 2nd, and not be serving jail time or on parole for a felony conviction. You also have to have lived at your current address for at least 30 days. You'll need a driver's license number or the last 4 digits of a Social Security number to fill out the form. It has to be postmarked by Friday, or you can register at a local Board of Elections office. It can take up to 6 weeks to get a voter registration card back, so if you don't receive it by November 2nd, plan to bring a valid form of ID to the polls. In New Jersey, the deadline is October 12th. In Connecticut, it's October 19th by mail, or October 26th if you hand in your registration in person. For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.
You can find instructions and a copy of New York's voter registration form at WNYC's new political website, itsafreecountry.org. We'll wrap it up with the Gig Alert. This is the band Gangs, led by Minneapolis maestro Ryan Olson. A family of 25 musicians from across the country were involved in the production, tracking, and mixing of this album called Related. which the group released in May. The entire cast performs tonight at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. You can download this genre-bending track, The Gaudy Side of Town, on our culture page. Just click on culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in-depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Monday.